Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello. I am happy now. I'm doing my radio show. Hope everybody is doing good out there today and that you are having an awesome time in your prayer life. I'm your host, Dr. Gwyneth Williams. You're listening to Lifestyle for Lifetime Holiness. And over the last 3 months or so, maybe 2.5, we have been on the topic of reasons why prayers aren't answered. This is a year-long series on prayer. I really would encourage you to look in the archives for the previous teachings that we did on the priority of perseverance and the power of prayer. We talked about the three different ways of prayer, of in examining yourself, along with some of the other detail factors that are within the notes pertaining to prayer, with the three dimensions of our prayer life we've discussed. And the essential foundations of prayer is where we started off with. So there's a lot of material that we've covered over the last maybe 6 months, the purpose of prayer. And actually this series may go even longer than a year because we're just on our, I think, our third lesson. It's taken that long to get through it. But today we want to just discuss just the latter part of wrong understanding. And in this particular session, we have talked about reasons why prayers are not answered. And that could be the wrong living. It's not so much that you've named it and claimed it and you haven't had the faith for it, but it could be wrong living and wrong expectations. So we've covered all of those, and along with wrong understanding. But today I want to just kind of do a synopsis of that, and then we will go into for our next session a very detailed study of things that hinder our prayer life and how to overcome that. But if you could follow along with me today. And we're going to discuss what should be our response to unanswered prayer. And so my question to you today would be, how are you dealing with responding to the prayers in your life that haven't been answered? And so one of the first things that we really want to look at under this point is, you know, is this a point where God is, he is trying to get you to grow in a particular area? We kind of left off with this last week, and we'll just take a few minutes just to go over that again. Sometimes when we have not received what we want, it's like, I just want to visualize this, a child that is wanting a piece of cake or an ice cream cone, and they're wanting it now. And they're crying and hollering and maybe throwing a tantrum in the floor. I'm sure none of us do that in the natural as well as in the spiritual realm. But if that is where we are in the aspect, our response, then we need to really ask God in this particular circumstance, what are you saying, God? What are you doing? Am I acting this way because I am impatient or I'm going through growing pains? And God is saying, okay, I want you to grow up. So in that case, we have to evaluate ourselves. We want something, and we want it now. We don't want to wait. for what God has for us. And so as we evaluate ourselves, that could be one of the things that God is saying. And I love the analogy last week, and it really bears repeating. It's such a great example of our waiting and our growing. But Ruth Graham said, if God had answered all my prayers, I would have married the wrong man 7 times. So you may be wanting something, and maybe it's, in this case for her, it was a mate, but God had another plan, and she married Billy Graham. Excuse me. But if she would have married the 7 times of what she thought she wanted. So the number one point we're making here is that God is wanting us to grow. So as our response to unanswered prayer is to, number one, search, evaluate, and God says grow. The next is, in this evaluation, prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. But we want to lay hold to know that God is, he's not reluctant, but God is willing. And if we could find, even in that willingness, there's the word will. He's willing to bless us with the things that we need that are going to be beneficial for us, for the kingdom, and for the will of God and what's best for us. So those are the things that we have to look at in evaluating ourselves, is God is growing us, and that God's not reluctant, but he is a willing God. Now, the next point we want to, in our response, is to evaluate. The next is wait on God. While he delays giving you the answer, it will be occupied, that is a blessed, is that God is going to bless the work that you're doing. He's going to bless you and give you the best. Now, this scripture here, it bears repeating, and we let's go ahead and read this in Matthew, and we'll turn to the 6th chapter. I know most of you probably know it, but I'm going to read it today from out of the Amplified. And if you're there, let's look at the 33rd verse. Therefore, don't worry. Let's start up at verse 31. Therefore, don't worry and be anxious, saying, what are we going to have to eat? Or what are we going to have to drink? Or what are we going to have to wear? And I'm sure maybe some of your unanswered prayers may be pertaining to your eating and drinking and what you're going to wear, how you're going to pay your house bill. For the Gentiles, which the Gentiles then were, they were synonymous with heathens. They wish for, they crave, and they diligently seek all these things. And your Heavenly Father, he already knows well that you have need of them. But this is the thing, and this is the scripture, and this second point in waiting on God is, while he delays giving you the answer, you have to be occupied in his blessed work, and he's going to bless your work as well. But seek first of all his kingdom, his righteousness, and then all these things taken together will be given to you. Besides, it's the way the Amplified says it. So when he's saying this, the seek, that means that you're to aim at, to strive after. So you're aiming, you're striving for the kingdom. You're aiming for, you're striving after the kingdom of God. Now, come on, get your aim out, your target. Okay, there's your target. So while you're so in this aspect of waiting on God, you're aiming at, okay, your target. Okay, what is your will, God? Okay? And you're striving for. So that means you're striving, not you're going towards it. And in that strive, you're going to thrive, believe me, for the kingdom. Now, his righteousness just basically means, God, okay, what is your way of doing this? His way of doing and being right. Okay, so you got that. So the second point is waiting on the Lord and be occupied in his work. Now, number one, your response to the unanswered prayer, search, evaluate. God, are you growing me? Okay, God, I know you're willing. Next, I'm waiting on God. Then the next is, let's look at Matthew 7:7. To keep asking. So that would be what? The persistence. Don't give up, but be persistent and keep asking God. And the 7:7 says, keep on asking and it will be given you. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. Here, this is a reverent knock. That door is going to be open to you if you just keep on seeking, keep on asking. Now, as we know the story of Daniel, and we'll look at this in the book of Daniel, and I want you to really understand this point because you could be on the verge of your breakthrough. But let's look at 12. It says 10 and 12, Daniel 10 and 12, Daniel 10 verse 12. And then he said to me, fear not, Daniel, for from this first day that you set your mind and heart to understand, to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. So God could be saying to you, I've already heard you. Keep on asking. Keep on knocking reverently. Keep on seeking God. So he prayed and he fasted, but God said, I heard you the first day. So God is, he's already heard your prayer. But God is saying, stand still. The first day, he said, that you set your mind and heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. I have come as a consequence of your words. So what God is saying here is, in response to your prayers out there, God says, I'm coming. I'm going to be there on time. Just wait. I've already heard your words. I remember hearing this scripture, you know, as a teenager, you know, one of my godfathers ministering this. And I used to think, wow, Lord, you heard me the first day and they have a war in heaven, you know, but you got to be persistent. You know, we got to grow, got to trust. And in that growing comes that trust. But it says in verse 13, it's about the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me for 21 days. But God had to call out Michael. Then Michael, one of the chief princesses, came to help me, for I remained there with the kings of Persia. So it might be some spiritual warfare going on in the heavenlies, and he had to call out the chief of the celestial princes on your behalf, because he is God Jehovah. He is the God of the angel armies. And he is going before you to make the crooked places smooth, to make the crooked places straight. So your response is to be persistent, keep on asking, stay covered. Because Daniel, he prayed, he fasted, and he prevailed for this whole time, trusting in God. So if we look even in verse 2, and I'll skim through this back to the core of what we want to get to in Daniel 10. In those days, David, he was mourning for 3 weeks. The scripture said he didn't eat any pleasant or desirable food. He didn't eat any meat or wine into his mouth. He didn't anoint himself for those 3 weeks. But on the 20th day of the first month, it says, on the 24th day of the first month, he said, as he was on the bank of the great Hiddekel, which is the Tigris River, he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with pure gold. Woo! And it says that he was clothed with the linen, and his loins were pure gold. His body was golden as well. And the appearance of lightning, his eyes were like flaming torches, his arms and his feet like glowing burnished bronze. And the sound of his words was like the noise of a multitude of roaring seas. So here we see that Daniel alone, he saw the vision of the heavenly being. I just had an experience like this, very similar, in China. God will work on your behalf. Even when the enemy's trying to come against you, he'll send celestial beings. And David alone saw the vision. I mean, Daniel alone saw the vision of the heavenly being. For the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great trembling fell upon them, so they fled to hide themselves. So I was left alone and saw this great vision, and no strength was left in me, for my fresh appearance was turned to pallor, a great weak and faint with fright. Then I heard the sound of his words, and when I heard the sounds of his words, I fell on my face in a deep sleep with my face sunk to the ground. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me unsteadily upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And the angel said to me, O Daniel, you greatly beloved man, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for to you I am now sent. And while he was saying this word to me, I stood up trembling. And then he said to me, I want you to get this so you can understand. Then he said to me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your mind and heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come as a consequence. And God will send an angel. He will come himself. He will go before you in response to your words. So believe it comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Say it, confess it, and then action will come and you walk out the action. But 13 says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me for 21 days. And then Michael, as we read earlier, the chief of the celestial princes, came to help me, for I remained there with the kings of Persia. So sometimes when prayers aren't answered, you got to call on Jesus. You got to call on Michael. That's when our engine went out of our plane. We called on Michael, Gabriel, Jesus, Lord, every celestial being, God be with us, and they will come on your behalf. You speak forth the oracles of God and pray and be steadfast. So the point here is keep on asking. Be persistent. in the things that you are wanting God to do in your life. Those are the key factors. And the third point of your response to the prayers that are not answered, and you may not have the understanding of why they have not been answered. But God is saying, how persistent are you? Do you just give up the towel, throw in the towel and say, this isn't for me? No. Quickly, 2 Corinthians 12:7. And we will read through 10. And it says, and to keep me from being puffed up, and too much elated by the exceeding greatness of these revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to rack and buffet and harass me, to keep me from being excessively exalted. So it looks like Paul here, in his personality, one of the things that he had was this thorn in the flesh, because he needs just to have a repentant heart. So he got a definitive answer from God. He had that splinter here. Actually, here it says thorn. In the actual Greek, it means a splinter. But basically, it says to keep him from being puffed up and too much elated by the exceeding greatness. That's his preeminence of all these revelations he was having. There was given him a thorn, like a splinter. And we can even look in Job 2 and 6, just to keep him from being excessively exalted. But three times, what did he do? To the point, verse 8, I called upon the Lord and besought him about this, and I begged that it might depart from me. But he said to me, my grace, my favor, and loving kindness and mercy is enough for you, sufficient against any danger, and enables you to bear the trouble manfully. For my strength and power are made perfect, fulfilled, and completed, and show themselves most effective in your weakness. Therefore, I will all the more gladly glory in my weakness and infirmity, that the strength and power of Christ, the Messiah, may rest. Yes, may pitch a tent over the, which he's saying here, tent over and dwell upon me, so that for the sake of Christ, I am well pleased and take pleasure in infirmities, insults, hardship, persecutions, perplexities, and distresses. For when I am weak, I'm in human strength, then am I truly strong, which means he's saying basically the whole point here of this, he's able to have the power in the divine strength. And that's basically what God is saying here, that you can do nothing of yourself, but in God's divine strength, you can do everything. And that's one thing. I believe if we can have a repentant heart and don't have to get puffed up in this, we don't have to go through a lot of things. If we just say, okay, God, hey, I know you can do it. God said, bingo, boom, I know. They trust in me. And they know it's not in their strength. So, and we just pray that that's not your weakness, to think that you're doing it. So you have to go through things unnecessarily. But wait on God and know that it's in his strength. So point three. Be persistent. Pray until you get a definite answer from the Lord. So this is the point that's being made here, that God will give you the strength, the power in divine strength, so that what you're going through, and I believe that we can get to a place, if we know that we're not going to get puffed up and arrogant, his loving kindness and mercy is going to be enough against anything that may try to come against us, any troubles. And we will glorify in Christ, that we can walk in the divine purpose, and God will give us the answer. The fourth point. Let's look at the book of Hebrews. So just to kind of recap while you're turning there, What is our response to unanswered prayers? Let's evaluate our hearts. Okay, wait on God. Be persistent. But as we look, Hebrews, and our fourth point, if there's no fruit, then just rejoice. Because God has a plan. Now, I want you to look at 17. It says, and with whom was he irritated and provoked and grieved for 40 years? Hebrews 3, 17 through 19. And I'm going to close with this, and we will get to our final four more points that we have pertaining to our response to unanswered prayer. I'm Dr. Gwyneth Williams. You're listening to Life with Holiness. And we are closing today with what should be our response to unanswered prayer. We've covered, evaluate your heart. Wait on God. Be persistent. And I want to close with this, Hebrews 3. And I want you to look at verse 17. And we will look at 18 and 19. And I'll close with this. I want you to rejoice. And with whom was he irritated and provoked and grieved for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, who dismembered bodies were strewn and left in the desert? And to whom did he swear that they should not enter his rest? But to those who disobeyed, who had not listened to him. So if you disobey and don't listen to him, his word, they refused to be compliant, to be persuaded. They were arrogant. But verse 19, so we see that they were not able to enter into his rest because they were unwilling to adhere to the trust in and rely on God. Unbelief had shut them out. So there's no fruit here, as we see, amongst the Hebrew people. But we have to learn that all these years that they went through, they didn't receive the fruit. But what if they would have just stopped and prayed and in rejoicing and rejoiced? So in examining ourselves, how are we responding to, and why aren't we entering the rest of God? So we close today. And with whom was he? God, he was irritated. He was provoked. So God, within our heart, we don't want to be ungrateful, but we want to rejoice in the blessings. We want to enter your rest as our prayer. Because we are willing to adhere to and trust and rely on you. So don't let unbelief shut you out of your blessings. So rejoice. Be grateful for what God has done. And next week we will touch base. On our final episode of this, which is just being thankful that God doesn't answer all your prayers. He never answered all of Job's questions. And we'll go over that. But to be mature is to understand that you don't have to understand. And God may not answer all our prayers, but still take care of all of our needs. So we'll touch base with these final points next week, and hopefully the Holy Spirit we'll see how he leads next week into the aspect of us getting to the next lesson, which we will do the series on hindrances of prayers and how to overcome them. But remember to walk in the blessings of God. God wants to answer your prayer. What's hindering them? Sometimes it's just confessing your sins. Sometimes it's keeping his commandments. Abide in Christ. Have a harmonious life with your family. Remember, all your prayers should be unselfish, but we can ask God, too, for things for ourselves, for the kingdom. Be humble, pray humbly, have sincere prayers,
Pray often and specifically. Make sure you're specific. Be faithful and also expect a miracle. Expect and walk in faith. And remember, walk in the will of God. Be persistent and patient. And you can ask what you will. And remember, God will do it. Tune in next week for Lifestyles for a Lifetime Holiness and wrap up our series on Reasons for Unanswered Prayer, Matthew 7:7-11, and James 4:1-3. Success to you and success to the kingdom of God. God bless you. We are live from Wells.